This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This weekly series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to have on today's broadcast Representative Jamie Whitten, Democrat from Mississippi. Mr. Whitten is a ranking member of the House Appropriations Committee. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
Dick, it's certainly a pleasure to be with you and to be on this program.
Congressman Whitten, I'd like to discuss with you this anti-riot bill, which you have supported, and in fact, you've introduced one version of it. Why do you think there's some need for this bill? What does it do?
Dick, as you doubtless know, I was district attorney for several years prior to coming here. As a result, with that background, quite naturally you turn toward legal matters here, in addition to the appropriations where I work in some detail. But what we've had in recent years, and particularly in the last year or so, is quite a number of riots, which apparently are promoted by professionals who travel from one area to another. And when the last so-called civil rights bill was up, Bill Cramer of Florida, a member of the Judiciary Committee, offered an amendment which made it illegal for people to cross a state line with the intent to incite to riot. Quite a bit of debate on it. I made the closing oral argument in the House, and the amendment, as I recall it, was approved about 325-28, or 328-25. That bill, as you know, went on to the Senate, and there, for the first time, the leaderships of the two parties kind of had a little division on the open housing section, so apparently that's dead, for which I'm thankful. But I did point out then that in the event that happened, that I thought this should be handled as a separate bill. I joined with Congressman Cramer and introduced a companion bill to his, which is now pending for the Judiciary Committee. I testified there on that bill, as you recall.
Well, Congressman Whitten, what you're dealing with, in other words, is a series of demonstrations and riots, first in Watts and perhaps in Philadelphia and then Cleveland and Chicago and Atlanta, and first one city and then another, all of which seem to have a number of things in common.
Well, the Judiciary Committee, when I was before it, they didn't mention as much these big cities that you have reference to, but rather they mentioned my town of Grenada, which is right next door and like a hometown to me. I didn't have the opportunity to see on television the occurrences that took place there some time ago, but I do know that for 60 days preceding that, professional agitators, having given notice in the press, were there doing everything in the world to build local situation up to explosive levels. And in my testimony, Assistant Attorney General John Doar was there. He had preceded me before the Judiciary Committee. And I pointed out then that when you stand by and either condone or promote agitation to the point of building up for an explosion, as bad as it is, you can't be completely surprised when it occurs. I think that this statute is badly needed. Now, the surprising thing was to see the Assistant Attorney General, in effect, oppose this separate bill. The reason for that is easy to see in that he's just not with us on it. But back behind that, the Department of Justice has sponsored that type of legislation for dynamiting, for racketeering, for carrying stolen property. We have statutes making it a crime to cross state lines with that purpose in mind if you then commit an overt act toward it. All of them supported by the Department of Justice. But when you ask the Congress, or we ask the Congress, to pass a bill making the same provisions for people who cross state lines to incite riots and take human life and destroy property, you find your Attorney General down here pussyfooting, to say the least of it, and in effect opposing it.
What reaction has there been from people in parts of the country other than the South on this anti-riot measure? Do you believe it enjoys a good deal of popular support throughout the nation?
Well, I think it certainly does, and I think probably the best evidence is that when it was offered as an amendment to the last civil rights bill, it was adopted by 328 to 25. That speaks for itself.
Isn't it somewhat strange that you will have one branch of the federal government, the Justice Department, opposing federal action to hold down riots and thereby save lives and prevent the needless destruction of property, while at the same time you have another branch in the form of the U.S. Commissioner of Education appearing before another committee of the Congress and actually saying that the federal government should step in and control the public school systems of the nation?
Well, Dick, of course you know that me and the other members of our delegation have opposed that approach consistently through the years. I think one of the tragic things, and many of the American people don't seem to be aware of it, the Constitution intends to have three separate and coordinate branches of government. The Congress is supposed to be of equal stature to the President and to the Supreme Court, and they each to the other. But unfortunately, in recent years, we've seen the executive branch and the judicial branch working together. The Attorney General would seek decrees from the court would grant them. The court would issue opinions, and the executive department would carry them out. And one of the tragic things in recent years, we've seen the leadership of both political parties join in to say, me too. Now, I say again, that's been over the strong opposition of our delegation in the Congress and many others from the South. Now, with time, these people in other areas found out that that when you change the law or change the practice, it's just a matter of time till it steps on them, and they are really suffering in many of these northern cities. And as you can be around here, and while pretty much the same people voted for this last so-called civil rights bill in the House, there wasn't a smile on a single face.
You believe then that the political temper of the nation is changing?
Yes, I mean, they can see that what we're having is a breakdown in law and order. You take the Supreme Court decisions in recent years, as a former district attorney, it's quite clear to me, and I'm sure it is to you as a layman. But these decisions where they hold that guilty defendants got to be arraigned within a certain very short period, a confession's got to be just thus and so, and you got to see that he has a lawyer, well, the press plays that up as rights that they're giving to the individual. What it amounts to is that the courts are freeing criminals on the public. Now, when I studied law, and this country was built on a common principle that individual rights had to be subjected to the common good. When I was prosecuting, if an appellate court read the overall record and saw that there was absolutely no question as to the guilt of the defendant, they refused to reverse on some technicality. Now we find the court rewriting all of those rules, and may I say under the old Constitution. Constitution hadn't been changed. The courts have just tied the hands of police officers to where sooner or later you're not going to have any policemen. Now, we might talk theory and we might talk law and constitution and all that, but the people in Chicago and Cleveland and Los Angeles and San Francisco, they think about what's happening, and working backwards, they're going to see sooner or later that it all goes back to the Supreme Court, which is out to destroy the Constitution and the general protection of the public.
Not too long ago, Congressman Whitten, I saw a national network television broadcast, which disturbed me greatly. On this broadcast, which featured the leaders of several of the so-called civil rights organizations, one of these individuals made actually an overt call to violence on the part of a certain minority group. And another one of these individuals urged members of his race not to fight in Vietnam. Now, would this anti-riot bill, which you are backing, could it be used in such instances where it is shown that there is a clear provocation by using interstate channels of communications?
Well, of course, it's my own view that the incident that you have reference to, that had the Attorney General saw fit to, that statement in itself would be sufficient to for indictment and conviction under existing statutes. Insofar as the anti-riot statute, it would stop that type of individual, not from that one statement there.
Yes.
But it would say that if he made a practice or went across a state line for the purpose of inciting a riot,
and after getting across the line, did things to instigate or to incite a riot, that it would be in violation of the law and provides quite stiff penalties. Now, again, you can't just pass a law putting a man in jail. That the fact that he crossed the line and later incited a riot would raise the presumption that he crossed the line with that in mind. Now, you understand, to incite a riot is in violation of state law already. The biggest thing we need federal help on is where they do cross from one line to the other, you need it there. And then, as I said, I don't know whether the President, Attorney General, or Department of Justice would enforce such a statute or not. But if you had such a law, your local communities and counties and states could use that fact to go into court and seek an injunction restraining these agitators who are going from one place to the other. You might recall last year, quite some time ago, when this fellow left Mississippi and went out and virtually tore up the University of California. He spent a year stirring up our state, and I happened to speak in California to the agribusiness group in San Francisco and was at Berkeley when he was there. And he literally had that university torn all to pieces. Well, this statute would make it a crime for him to do it, but also it would let the state go in there and do something through court to restrain such activities.
Congressman Whitten, in the very brief moment that we have remaining, are you optimistic about the chances for passage of this legislation?
I quite definitely am optimistic about it. Now, I always stick to principles. I'm not a member of the Judiciary Committee. Whenever they take action, it'll be in the name of somebody on the committee. But by introducing a bill and testifying in support of it, you help build up a record. And I think that the public opinion is building up to the point it's going to put enough pressure to where we get votes to do something about this situation.
Congressman Whitten, thank you very much for being with us. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Representative Jamie Whitten, Democrat from Mississippi. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedoms.